This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, October 19th of 2022. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll hear from a local high school student about effects to register new voters. Chris Moore will have his weekly commentary make them hear you. Cooling weather means bears are on the lookout for snacks. We'll hear some bear safety tips from a park ranger. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, then it's the Hightower Lowdown. On today's A Public Affair, Alexis Kenyon and Claire Purnell sit down with the head of Moving to End Sexual Assault, as Boulder's only rape crisis center marks its 50th anniversary. Then at 9 a.m., we'll revisit a recent episode of Outsources, featuring a journey through horror history with Denver film professor Andy Scahill. And at 9:30, Greg Schultz will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Christian Garabay.
The Longmont City Council presented the results of the 2022 City of Longmont Community Survey during a study session last night. Residents who took the survey expressed generally positive views about the city. Of the 47.5% of residents that said they would be extremely likely to recommend Longmont as a good place to live, 54% called homelessness a major issue and only 23% stated that they had sufficient accessibility to affordable housing. Additionally, 42% were satisfied with police enforcement's prevention of crimes and only 36% were satisfied with the enforcement of traffic laws. The City of Aurora has launched a new website to help new residents locate available housing. The website presents rental listings and other resources, including a directory with homelessness resources, shelter information, veteran services, and job postings. The city used federal pandemic relief funds to launch the site, which is online at www.myhousingsearch.com/aurora. Colorado's Neighborhood Intervention and Violence Prevention Reporting Program, Safe to Tell, released an annual report yesterday. The report found that suicide and bullying continue to rank as the highest threats for schools and neighborhoods. Safe to Tell is a Colorado-wide violence intervention and prevention program for youth and community members created in 2004 to anonymously report threats to their own and others' safety. According to a press release, Safe to Tell received about 19,000 calls in the last year, which is an almost 70% increase from the year before and the highest number since before the pandemic. RTD will offer 2 free fare days to help Coloradans get to the polls. October 28th, which is National Vote Early Day, and the November 8th election. Coloradans can ride the RTD for free. Voters can locate a drop box or voting center near them using govotecolorado.gov and plan their trip using RTD's trip planner on rtddenver.com or the app. A Denver nonprofit has acquired 2 former East Colfax motels. KGNU's Stacy Johnson has more.
The Fax Partnership, a nonprofit, announced yesterday it acquired 2 East Colfax motels last month to provide temporary shelter for families experiencing homelessness. The motels are the Westerner and Sand and Sage, located at the 8400 block on East Colfax. Following rehabilitation of the motel units, Volunteers of America of Colorado will partner with the Fax Partnership next year to provide housing and services for unhoused families. The nonprofit also plans on turning the motels into an affordable housing redevelopment for the East Colfax community beginning in 2028. The redevelopment will also include community-serving ground floor uses. The nonprofit said it purchased the properties with a diverse set of lenders. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
Aurora police arrested a now former Denver police officer on Saturday. KGNU's Claire Purnell has more.
27-year-old Daniel Caballero is facing multiple criminal charges, including domestic violence and harassment, menacing, and prohibited use of weapons. The arrest affidavit indicates Aurora police received a call Saturday night reporting an armed person at a house in the 900 block of South Waco Way. The affidavit alleges Caballero was seen pulling his girlfriend's hair, leading to an altercation with the girlfriend's brother. Caballero then allegedly pulled out a handgun. Caballero lost his Denver Police Department job after the incident. For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.
Expect slightly warmer temperatures and sunny weather all throughout the Front Range today. There's also a hazardous weather warning as warm, dry, and gusty winds reaching up to 35 miles per hour will result in critical fire weather conditions. Officials advise that the public refrain from any burning or outdoor activities that may cause a spark. In Boulder, a high of 76 and a low of 42. In Denver, a high of 75 and a low of 44. In Fort Collins, a high of 78 and a low of 38. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Every election season, political strategists talk about wooing swing voters, while one of the biggest voting blocks often goes overlooked: new voters. Julia Hunt is a senior at Fairview High School who knows a little something about mobilizing new voters. The YWCA of Boulder County recently recognized Hunt with its Unstoppable Award. She spoke with news director Shannon Young earlier this week.
Julia, you've coordinated a number of highly effective voter registration drives at Fairview High School. Tell listeners about those.
Yeah, so our work to register students at Fairview High School, we think, is really important because students, as you said, are this large voting bloc that often goes overlooked in elections and by politicians. But we're the ones whose future is being debated and legislated on, so we think it's really important to get involved in that way. We've done a number of voter registration drives with Colorado Democracy Challenge, which is a partner organization for New Era Colorado, which you may have heard of. It's a Colorado organization working on youth voting rights and lots of progressive issues. And we partner with them, and their organizers come to Fairview, and we just set up tables and try to register as many students as possible in just often the span of a few days. And it's really a large effort with lots of student volunteers. And that's the work that we're doing to register students at our school.
And it's been highly successful. Your efforts won recognition from the Secretary of State. Tell us about that award.
That's right. So it's called the Eliza Pickrell Route Award, and we won it in 2019. And it goes to schools that register over 85% of the eligible student population to vote. So Eliza Route was, she was the wife of Colorado's first governor, and she was really involved in efforts to get the vote for women, women's suffrage efforts. And so when women did get the vote in Colorado, she was honored by, she was allowed to become the first woman to register and the first woman to cast her ballot. So this award is named after her and just carrying on in her honor that tradition of registering voters.
Are you going to be old enough to vote in this upcoming election?
I will not, sadly. I wish.
Well, I mean, how does it feel to be advocating for rights that you yourself cannot yet exercise?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because most people at Fairview are pre-registering, which you can do at 16, and are not actually going to be able to vote in the recent elections. But I think it's really important to get people excited about this right even before they're able to exercise it and just get them thinking about how they need to be active citizens in our democracy, even if they aren't 18 yet and can't yet exercise that right to vote. It's still important to be involved in political processes and be ready when that essential right does become available to them.
Have you encountered any particular challenges when it comes to registering your peers to vote or in motivating them to get to the polls?
Definitely. There's a lot of, I guess I would say, apathy among some students. In my freshman year, when I first became involved in the voter registration drives, I got very discouraged because you go around to a lot of people and most of them just aren't interested in stopping what they're doing to fill out this form. But I think that I've learned over the years to, first of all, not take it personally when people aren't interested in registering to vote, and also in learning to connect with people in a way that gets them excited about registering to vote and voting. So that's something that I've learned over the years, but it's definitely a struggle because, you know, people aren't necessarily involved in politics, but that's something we're trying to change.
Okay, and you mentioned getting excited, like the challenge is getting people excited to vote. What would be some of the most effective ways that politicians or political parties or just political actors in general could do to motivate youth engagement?
Well, I think that unfortunately a lot of it is happening in negative ways. I mean, I know with Roe v. Wade being overturned, that's definitely something that's galvanized a lot of young people to get more involved in politics, at least with going to protests and marches or writing postcards to voters. And I think that getting registered to vote and voting themselves is definitely a part of that. But in terms of positive ways of motivating young people to vote, I think that just using social media, of course, and using positive messaging to really show people that young people do have power in our democracy. I mean, youth voters were 27% of the vote in Colorado in the 2020 presidential elections. They made up the largest voting bloc. So we do have this power, even if we sometimes feel powerless.
And do you see any particular tendencies? And I understand that living in the Boulder bubble may be may kind of put some blinders on, right? But do you see any clear political tendencies among youth that are your peer groups?
Definitely. At least at Fairview, it's quite liberal, people registering. And when we are registering voters, of course, we have to be nonpartisan. But that's what I've seen, is that most people are affiliated with the Democratic Party. So that's the trend that I've seen in Boulder.
What do you see as the biggest blind spots that political parties have with regards to courting new voters?
Gosh, definitely something that I think got overlooked is Colorado used to have a law that allowed 17-year-olds to vote in primary elections if they'd be 18 years old by the general. And there was an amendment a few years to the Colorado Constitution that was voted on and passed. That basically changed the wording of the Constitution from all citizens who are 18 years of age can vote to only citizens of 18 years of age can vote. And it was just supposed to kind of be this anti-immigrant rhetoric. I don't think it has any legal implications on immigration issues, but it did have this side effect of getting rid of that law where 17-year-olds are allowed to vote in primary elections, which was a really important thing for youth voting and for mobilizing young voters. So I think that's an issue that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. But at Fairview, myself and my teacher supervisor, Mr. Hendrickson, who's a social studies teacher there, we are meeting with local organizations and state legislators and trying to do something about that, because I think that's a blind spot for politicians not having this law that 17-year-olds can vote early.
And what would you say are some of the biggest issues that are important to young voters?
Definitely, I've seen that women's rights are really important to young voters. I think that my friends and I were all really shocked when Roe v. Wade was overturned, because this was a right that our mothers had, and so we all assumed that it'd be guaranteed to us as well, and it should have been guaranteed to us as well. But that was definitely a huge shock and an issue that's really important to a lot of us. And then also, I think that climate change is, of course, a huge issue, because that's what's affecting us in the future. And that's, again, another blind spot for politicians, because as we've seen, politicians are on the older side, and they don't necessarily represent the needs and wants of the younger generation in protecting our earth.
Anything else that you'd like to add for our listeners to consider?
Yeah, I guess definitely make sure to register to vote and vote in the November 8th election. And yeah, just making sure to prioritize youth voters, I think, is really important, because people can often feel this feeling of powerlessness or apathy. And it's really important to combat that in youth voters and to make sure our voices are heard.
Julia Hunt is a senior at Fairview High School and is this year's recipient of the YWCA of Boulder County's Unstoppable Award. Julia, thanks for coming by the studio to chat with me today.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine. We'll be right back.
Up next is Make Them Hear You with Chris Moore.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And tell them in our struggle we...
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. If you have limited time between now and Election Day on November 8th, now is the time to do whatever you can to get out the vote. You can still write letters to increase voter participation with a little guidance from Vote Forward. Convince 5 friends to vote. Go on social media and encourage your friends there to vote. And if you have time after that, there is a bipartisan natural disaster relief bill up in the Senate, the National Climate Adaptation and Resilience Strategy Act, S-3531, to help our nation deal with climate change catastrophes like floods and wildfires. Over 500 climate adaptation experts, elected officials, chambers of commerce, faith-based organizations, school boards, conservation organizations, real estate workers, development, construction, and finance people, community development groups, spanning all 50 states and the District of Columbia, signed a letter stating their support for the legislation. Introduced by Senators Democrat Chris Coons and Republican Lisa Murkowski, and in the House by Representatives Democrat Scott Peters and Florida Republican Maria Elvira Salazar, the bill would create a chief resiliency officer in the White House and a national strategy to guide federal agencies to take a more efficient approach to supporting state, local, and tribal governments, the private sector, and other non-federal partners in preparing for climate change disasters. The bill would directly benefit those who protect us. Quote, as first responders, we put ourselves in harm's way each time our communities call on us to keep them safe, Robert Abbott, chief of Lake Travis Fire Rescue in Travis County, Texas, said in comments provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. Quote, we see natural disasters like floods, fires, and storms increasing in frequency and intensity. NCARS is about coordinating federal resilience efforts and preparing communities for future disasters before they occur. We don't have time to wait, close quote. The Pew Charitable Trusts and more than 40 national organizations signed and sent their letter to Congress on August 2nd, quote, with the charge to create a national resilience strategy, NCARS is a great step forward to enhance and streamline federal efforts to support vulnerable communities and protect infrastructure, said Democrat South Carolina State Senator Kent Williams. If you have an opinion on the National Climate Adaptation and Resilience Strategy Act, S-3531, you can contact your senators. And once again, get out the vote activities are in high gear right now. So remember to help your local GOTV organization to mobilize voters for next month. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Wildlife is a big draw for visitors and new residents of the Rocky Mountain region. And one staple of regional wildlife is bears. This is the time of year when they are most active and most likely to accidentally interact with humans as they enter hyperphagia, their state of increased snacking to prepare for hibernation. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KDNK's Haddison Rensberry spoke with Shelley Grail, a recreation manager with the Forest Service, about the process to learn more about bear precautions this autumn.
As the temperatures change and it starts to get colder, they'll start making their way into that phase. So that's why we see some upticks this time of year with more bear-human conflicts, because they're doing everything they can to get all those calories and fill their bodies before they go into that rest phase over the winter. So it's so important that we continue to be diligent with when we're camping, make sure that we're putting our food away, either in the bear box that's provided at the campground or locked and out of sight in a car. If you're backpacking, to either use a bear canister so that the bear can't access that food, or to make sure your food is completely out of reach of a bear. They just get into this, I don't want to call it panic mode, but just this need to eat, eat, eat. And so we don't want to be contributing to the unhealthy things that they might be eating. And the berry crop has been amazing this year. So the hope is that they're getting the true nutrients that they really need to have a nice and healthy winter. And oftentimes the bear knows you're there or knows you're coming, so they'll likely wander off and not mess with you. But it is something I think about when this time of year, if I'm eating berries in the woods, I do think, oh, I'm taking from the sweet bear population. But it doesn't stop me from at least grabbing a handful of raspberries.
What should you do if you encounter a bear? out on the trail.
So if someone does encounter a bear in the wild and they feel threatened or the bear is being aggressive, it's important that they do their best to distance themselves from that bear. Make loud noises, blow a whistle, clap, throw stick, just anything that they can do to hopefully encourage that bear to move on, to make it clear that the person is going to be an issue and not someone that the bear should continue to target. That typically works. The noise, throwing objects, so that would be the hope. But it all starts with making sure you don't have anything that's attracting that bear. So you don't have food on you. If you're at home, that you don't have that hummingbird feeder hanging, just to really separate yourself and any attractants from you and that bear.
What are some foods or attractants that they're really motivated by?
Definitely garbage. That seems to be where so many of the conflicts arise, is when people are putting their garbage out too early, or they have their garbage with them at camp. They do love bird feeders. We never want to see a bird feeder out at a campground. And people do like to set up their feeders. It kind of feels like home. So we highly discourage that, just as another attractant. They start to recognize things. So if a bear has been successful getting food out of a white Subaru, for example, they might continue to look for other white Subarus that might provide that same reward. So we just don't want to get them habituated. It's where it comes back to us to make sure that we're doing the right thing. If we have food in our car, that we're covering it, that we're closing the doors, locking the doors, closing the windows so that a bear can't smell what's in there. It's on us to make sure that bear does not get that food reward. They are not afraid to open doors, break windows, just to get that food source. Mm-hmm. So far this summer, we've had a lot of success with people storing their food properly, which is great because it's enabled us to keep our campgrounds open and not put campground closures in effect like we had to do a couple times last summer. So we really appreciate that the public has been so diligent about proper food storage at the campgrounds, because it really is important. That's especially where we're entering that bear habitat. So it's important for us to take those steps to avoid any of those conflicts.
For KDNK News, I'm Haddison Rensberry.
Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. This is Brigitte Mars with 7 chakra checklists before you decide to fall in love and sleep with somebody. Okay, we're going to think of all the colors of the rainbow. So red is, do I feel safe? Do I feel safe? Things like drunk driving, always losing your keys, always being late, not dependable, having a lot of legal issues, the police coming to the house at random hours, that might not be a good measure of safety. Okay, orange might be, can you count on them? Do you like their friends? Are they at least trying to have good relationships with people? Are the people that they hang out with of a healthy caliber? I would think about that. Also, yellow is, are they a healthy eater? Because you're going to do a lot better with somebody who eats healthfully. It doesn't have to be the same exact diet as you, but, that they're making an attempt and they're going to appreciate your efforts to be a healthy eater. Also, I think of home and hearth. Are they clean? Are they organized? Because those kind of things can really bug you in the long-term relationship and create lots of discordance. Green is, wouldn't it be nice to be with someone who lives green, who does their best to buy the biodegradable products and isn't contributing to the breakdown and pollution of our planet? I think so. Even things like, do you really want to smell somebody's hair who's using chemical shampoos and toxic aftershave that even kills animals when they're exposed to it? I think not. Green is also about, are they able to forgive and move on? Yes. So someone who lives green, willing to go for walks, eat a weed here and there, grow a garden. Yeah, that's what I like. Then blue is, do you find them attractive? And do they speak truthfully and perhaps affirmatively? If someone always has a negative outlook, I'm such a loser, I'm so disorganized, wouldn't it be nice to be with someone who says, I'm taking steps to become more organized. I am working on myself. And truthfully and maybe, you know, not too much profanity. I know a little profanity from time to time is okay, but really, you know, when they can't control themselves and they blow it in front of your parents, not a good idea. Okay, Indigo is about, do they enhance your intelligence? Are they willing to read and watch things that are enlightening, that are going to put your consciousness in a positive place? Because we know it's a pretty perilous planet out there, and, you know, we all got to be learning our whole life while we're here. And then Violet is about, do they have a connection to Source and Creator? Again, doesn't have to be the same as yours, but, you know, someone who's spiritually inclined and open and has something that does it so that they can live the best life possible and know that it all matters. That's my 7 chakra checklist. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hannah Stewart. Shannon Young has been our producer. Special thanks to Christian Garabay, Claire Purnell, Alexis Kenyon, Stacey Johnson, Haddison Rensbury, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for The Hightower Lowdown and then A Public Affair with Alexis Kenyon. That's just after these news headlines from the BBC.